Blog Talk Radio.
Until the philosophy which old one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation. Until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Mr. War, that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. This a war, that until that day, rule of international morality will remain in but a pleasing illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that holds our brothers in Angola and South Africa suffer human bondage have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. There's a war. War in the east. War in the west. War up north. War down south. War, war. Rumors of a war. And until that day, the African continent will.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. We're glad you're here with us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan on this rainy evening. And we have hopefully a great show lined up for you with so much happening around the world and in our own country. So let's get moving on, David.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so is the world witnessing the beginning of World War III? A nuclear winter is something nobody wants, as it solves nothing and would eradicate more than half the world's population. Egypt has begun helping Palestinians adversely affected by the nonstop bombardment of the Gaza Strip by Israel. Is this sanctioned genocide? These and other topics are up for discussion tonight as we delve into whether America is making plans to attack Iran by putting boots on the ground. Intelligence stated that Iran and Lebanon are responsible for arming and sponsoring both Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists in their attack against Israel. Republicans still hasn't elected a Speaker of the House and blame Democrats for their stupidity. Will good sense prevail, or will Republicans still continue their dog and pony show as the world laughs at us? Thank you for joining the broadcast tonight. Call in, weigh in, tell us what you think on these and other topics. Number to call is 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background music and all background noises, as the feedback is horrible. Be respectful and have a great time when you call in. Thank you for sharing across all social media as well. And be sure to visit our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so we're off and running now. And it is Thursday, October 19th, 2023. The topic tonight, Season 5, Episode 45, Could America Invade Iran? What's your thoughts on it? Because Iran, you know, sent a message to Joe Biden, which was nothing short of a threat, you know. So this is a deadly message to Biden about, you know, Hamas, the attack against, on Hamas against the state of Israel. What's your thoughts on it?
I absolutely do not want to hear about any of any boots on the ground from the United States. I do not. I just, the thought of that for me is so stressful. I hate war, and I know that it's nothing that I can do anything about. But boots on the ground is a little bit too much for me to even try to fathom it. Do I think that President Biden would do that? Not unless it was the last alternative that he had. That's my thought. I do not think he would do that unless, like I said, he had no other choice. And, you know, that would be the end of, you know, it would, that would be all that he could possibly do. So, so that's my thought on that. Boots on the ground, just horrific for me, the thought of it.
Yes, in the United States, if I heard correctly today on the news, that they're withdrawing their ambassador to Turkey and a couple other Muslim states in fear of reprisals, what's going on, because they feel that, you know, we're taking sides with Israel and sanctioning genocide and, you know, enabling Israel. So, you know, there's a lot of hate going on. And as Bob Marley in the introduction song, War, he's saying war in the east, west, north, and south. Yeah, so it's not looking pretty for the world right now. And hopefully, you know, we can avert World War III. And Donald Trump, the asshole that he is, keeps going on about, oh, if he were president, none of this would happen. He's the lapdog of Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin, so he needs to shut the fuck up. So, like I said at the top of the program, Iran sends a deadly message to Biden with Hamas attack on Israel. Regardless of whether Iran plotted or ordered a massive Hamas attack against Israel over the weekend, well, it was like 12 days ago. Tehran's backing and support of a Palestinian militant group sends a clear and defiant message to Washington. The United States has yet to confirm a direct involvement from Tehran in the operation, but officials acknowledge Iranians are indirectly complicit in training, funding, and supporting Hamas. So, you know, hopefully we're not going to get a runaround like we did. And we're lied to our faces when George Bush said, oh, Iraq helped Osama bin Laden in 9/11, where clearly there is no evidence pointing towards that. So we can't jump to conclusions. Also, we're real meticulous and careful. We don't make that second mistake again.
And, you know, David, the thing is that, you know, people are complaining and saying that, you know, President Biden is you know, just protecting Israel, and, you know, and, you know, others are very upset about that. But Israel is a democracy. People forget about that. And what he's trying to do is protect democracy in that part of the world, just like he's trying to protect democracy in Ukraine. That is how he sees it. That's how I see it. You have to protect democracy. You cannot let Hamas, these vigilant murderers, go into and attack, you know, a sovereign country like that for no, well, they have obvious reasons, but for us, we didn't have, there were no obvious reasons that we could say, oh, they're going to be attacked. Israel didn't even realize that, you know, what will come of that, mm-hmm. I don't know. But we have to remember, you know, we have Ukraine going on right now, which is Putin,
mm-hmm.
and we have us going on right now, mm-hmm. which is, you know, mm-hmm. that is, you know, we're trying, which is Israel. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to understand that part of it as well. Am I sad because there are people that are being killed for no particular reason because they are in mm-hmm. the wrong place at the wrong time, like in the Gaza Strip? Mm-hmm. Of course. Absolutely, of course. Mm-hmm. What about all those people that were at that concert, that over 200 people have been kidnapped, and, you know, they don't know if they're dead or if they're alive, or they have no idea. I mean, little leaks are coming out here and there, but it's not good. It's not good news for anyone. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to be humanitarian as well. We just can't look at things in black and white. We have to understand mm-hmm. the history of the countries that we're dealing with and then try to make good judgment. And I think that's what President Biden and his team are trying to do. He's not doing this alone. He has a great team. You know, Blinken, he has just a great team. So I think as of now, he has done all the right things so far. I haven't disagreed with anything that he has basically said. And the other mm-hmm. thing I want to mention is that for him to get on a plane, you know, and he had a few advisors with him and a few staff members, but for him to get mm-hmm. on a plane in the middle of the night and fly into Israel, that took guts. It really did. And for myself, I was really nervous about it. I was worried that, you know, something would happen to him. And then, you know, our country is in disarray as it is, you know, with all the politics that are going on and the hatred that's going on and the division. And I thought, what is going to happen? But thank God, I'm going to say, because he is a definite, he's a Catholic, and I'm going to say for him, thank God. And he was there safely. He was able to, you know, speak to different people, to different leaders. And you can see in his face that he has compassion. He cares about people. He is the most amazing man that I have. I mean, I love President Obama. This man is a step above the rest, in my opinion, from what I've seen. So that's my mm-hmm. take on everything.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and interestingly, Hamas invasion, this has been the worst attack on Israel in the last 50 years. Last time this happened, mm-hmm. it was in 1973, where Israel was caught yeah. off guard, and it was the Yom mm-hmm. Kippur War. And it shows that Tehran is increasingly willing to damage U.S. allies mm-hmm. and, in effect, try to weaken American influence through, you know, proxy groups. You know, so mm-hmm. you fund them, you train them, and what have you. And it comes as Iran's influence in the regional power appears to be on the rise. So Jonathan Speier, director of research at the Middle East Forum, said Iran seeks to defeat Israel with a strategy of death by a thousand cuts. And mm-hmm. Iran did say in the 1979 revolution that, you know, the war rests until Israel is wiped off the face of the earth. I mean, there are three sides of the story. Israel's side, mm-hmm. Gaza's side, the people of Palestine, and the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah.
we on the show try to be as objective as possible, you know, because mm-hmm. It's not black and white. There are a lot of gray areas in there. And,
sure.
you know, the poor Palestinians, for the most part, are not into war. They just want to live lives and go by freely yeah. and what have you. And there are some questionable mm-hmm. things that Israel has done where, you know, the Nazis did to them in Germany, where you need papers show and what reason you're going for this from point A to point B. And certain areas, as a Palestinian, you're not allowed to go, not even mm-hmm. walk on the street. So I find that preposterous, really. And, you know, if anything, it's like a form of apartheid. You know, because South Africa did some crap like that years ago. And, you know, nobody deserved that. You know, whether you're black, white, Jew, Gentile, whoever, you deserve better respect. You know, if you want respect, give respect. But let's see if this caller here can put us in perspective and give her give us their take on it. And we'll have Elaine from Michigan calling in. Hello, Elaine. What's cooking tonight?
Good evening. Nothing
too
much. Good evening, Laurie. Good evening, David. The part that bothers me is this last bombing. I think there's a lesson that has been learned by this, I hope, that the media cannot put their mouth in gear before they know the facts. It was reported that it was Israel, and then it was reported that it was Hamas. But the idea, what I'm saying is this. The media was too quick. They should have said, we don't know. Let it be let it be investigated. But no, they put their mouth in gear, and that riled up people. We've got to start calming down, and we have to start thinking. The people in Gaza, they're the innocent victims, and Hamas is playing them. And the press, just pay attention to what the hell you're doing and don't put your damn mouth in gear before you know the facts. That's my take on it right now. And President Biden is doing an awesome job.
Yes, he is.
I don't know how he's keeping his cool. He is talking to everybody. You know, I think the generation in their 50s had better wake up.
Yes.
He knows these people, and he knows their personality. And these people know him. They know that he's not a bullshitter.
And they trust
him. They know that he's going to talk to them with straight facts. So I'm so thankful that he is aboard. And that's my far. I just feel for the people. Both sides. And there's a lot that's going to have to be straightened out once people settle down and the fighting stops. There's a lot that has to go to the table and a lot that has to be done, and it has to be done the right way this time.
It sure does.
No more this 100 years business.
No.
The cards are on the table. We have mass communication, and the people know what's going on, and we have to do something about it. And also, I am very disappointed in three of our people that are in Washington. Take your little buns and sit them in a chair and let the grown-ups handle it right now. Keep your damn opinions to yourself right now, because all they are is opinions. And all you're doing is you're making trouble. You're not accomplishing anything. Making trouble does not solve problems. We've seen enough of that.
Absolutely. Let the leaders that know the situation, that are there, like, you know, Blinken has been there the whole time. Now, he's had, you know, he's been all around the region. He understands what's going on. He's had many meetings. He has advised President Biden. President Biden has been on the phone back and forth, day in and day out. And you're right, Elaine. They trust President Biden. I trust President Biden. I think, like I've said many times, he has a cool head, he's reasonable, and he has compassion for people, not just Israelis, for everyone. He has compassion for all people. And we have seen that. We've seen it in the past. And so we have to understand and let him, you know, lead us in a way and try to trust what he is saying and what he's doing. Because like David said, there are a lot of gray areas. We really don't know what's going on. And for everyone to start pointing fingers is wrong. You know, it's just wrong. It just makes for more hatred. It makes everything more inflamed and, you know, causes more division, et cetera. So,
you know, Lori, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't want to lose this thought. It quickly bounced into my head. If it wasn't for President Biden, the humanitarian supplies, food, medical, water, clean water, because, you know, when you've got bombs going off, your water isn't going to be that clean.
No.
The humanitarian aid was brokered by President Biden because of, oh, what's that country? Jeez, I can't think of it now. The border.
Mexico?
Egypt. Okay. Egypt didn't want to do anything. And
no, they didn't.
Then all this humanitarian aid came to the border of Egypt. So you know darn well Biden brokered that because they wouldn't talk to Netanyahu. They're mad at him.
Yeah.
They talked to Biden. And that humanitarian aid was brought to people. It was brought to the Palestinian people that are suffering. And there are Jewish people in that area. It was brought to them also. It was brought to the innocent people that are caught in the middle of this nonsense.
Yes, they are. I think there was about 100. Yes. I think there's around 100 trucks, if I heard right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, full of aid, which is a good thing.
Well, you know,
now here,
you know what would...
Go ahead.
Quick point. You know what could solve all this? If we had more female world leaders, because you women, you know, have a level head. There's not no, you know, pissing contests or, you know, throwing your dick on the table to say, oh, I have a bigger dick than yours, you know, test me if you want. You know, so, you know, it's ridiculous what's happening, really. But make your point, Laura. I have three other people lined up and everything. We'll get to your calls soon. Again, the number is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from.
This can wait, David. It's fine.
Okay. Khalil from the Commonwealth of West Virginia. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Nothing much. I agree with about the Egypt, I mean, about the thing in the other country. And the way I feel is, you know, if someone, if it's our allies, and if it's people who like are Americans and are affected, or if it's the UN, not the US, but it depends on the situation. But there's a person that says, "Oh, it's not our country, no matter what." You can tell them about when. You can tell them about how Americans were hurt. They'll say it's not our country, which, you know, it doesn't really make sense when you're talking about the UN or you're talking about someone else invading the country or you're talking about Americans being victimized. It doesn't really make sense to say it's not our country. And some people, to me, they're too much about it's not our country, and they don't look at the facts.
But, you know, it isn't so much that it's not our country. But people have to understand is they have a democracy that we are trying to defend around the world. You know, the United States is the beacon of democracy. We're fighting for our own democracy in our own country. And it's just, as I said before, Ukraine and Israel are both democracies. We are trying to keep them as democracies and not fall into the hands of dictators. or the Hamas or Putin. That's what the whole thing is all about. That is the goal, to keep democracy, the flame of democracy, going around the world. That's the big deal that we have to understand. Because once democracy is gone, not only it may be in our country, but in other countries, you won't have the freedom to travel and do the things that we do now. And how are you going to deal with that when you aren't, you know, if your vision is not enough to understand that what we're trying to do is save the world from a regime that takes away everything from you. That's the thing.
Yeah, I agree, because basically the person, I was even talking about Mexico, how the U.S. messed up Mexico. They know the history of the U.S. messing up Mexico, and they still say we shouldn't fix, you know, they're still saying Mexico is not our country. But the way I feel is like you said, you know, if it affects everybody, affects us going over there or anything like that, or just humane humanitarian, then we can't just say it's not our country, you know.
No.
And,
nothing to of course it's not, you know.
All right, but the thing is, for, you know, a lot of Americans, I think the last time I checked, it was 27 Americans who got murdered by Hamas. So doesn't that give, you know, America the right to go in there or to help Israel?
Of course. Yeah.
Of course. But
yes, David, it does give us
the person wasn't talking with logic, because I even told him about what happened in Darfur, about Americans being killed in an invaded country in Africa, and they still say it's not a country, which I didn't really understand that. You know, if an American is killed, or if it's something where someone's messing up a country or something like that, or even just human rights, you can't just say it's not our country. So that person, I don't really get their logic.
Exactly. No, there's no logic. Okay. There's just stupidity, you know, and that's why we need a good public education in America. Not defunding public education and putting more money in the prison industrial complex, but actually bettering the public education system. Okay, so we have another caller. 515-615-9802, the number to call. Say first name, where you're calling from. I know this number. Hey, welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Hello, David. Hello, Lori.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Madeline,
hi,
welcome.
I don't know who else. I have no idea who else is on the line. I just called in.
Oh, yes. It is Khalil, Elaine.
Elaine. Hi, Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the other person's name.
Well, what
are we talking about? Other countries? And I saw the heading, could America invade Iran?
Yes, well, because, you know, according to the intelligence sources from the United States and Mossad and other sources, the MI6, they're saying that, Iran was the one who, trained Hamas and sponsoring them, Hamas, who attacked Israel, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, I understand that, and I heard that as well on the news this last several week or so. Now, plans that Trump may have given them as far as paperwork out of those secret files, that's another story. That's another thing we have to worry about Iran. What did he give them that would make it worse for us?
Or what did Russia give Iran? That could be the question as well. You know.
Well, I would think those two have been conniving all along.
Yes, absolutely.
And
so,
and now with the secret documents missing.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you know, the question is, are we on the verge of a world war?
Well,
yeah, pretty much.
Very well. I won't say that because I don't want to say that. I have trust in our president right now. I have trust in the diplomacy that's going on. And I'm going to be like a wait and see person and see if I'm right or wrong. So
no, that's good way to go. But it's the other people I don't trust.
Of course. I mean, I don't either, you know. But, you know, I don't know if you heard President Biden's speech, but, you know, he just...
Oh, this evening? No, I missed it. Darn it. I was out.
It was like 6 minutes long. But what he spoke about is, I kind of went through it in the beginning. He spoke about Israel being a democracy and Ukraine a democracy, why we need to protect democracies around the world in order to keep, you know, the world, parts of the world, the important parts of the world, all parts of the world are important, but to keep the democracies that we do have around the world. And that is his vision. I mean, he wants that to happen, and he hasn't forgotten about Ukraine. And you know, and also he mentioned the Palestinian people, how bad he felt, you know, all the lives that were lost there as well, you know, being in Gaza, and how it was attacked, and how they were maimed and killed and brutalized. And, you know, and there's still over 200 hostages there, which they don't know what kind of shape they're in. I was driving home today, and there was, I turned on news for a little bit, and there was a grandmother, and she was so worried about her 8-year-old grandson because he was taken hostage. And she said the only thing she was so worried because she said he cannot see without his glasses.
She said,
I worry that he doesn't have his glasses. If he doesn't have his glasses, he cannot see. I mean, will they give him his glasses? Well, they let him keep his glasses. I was I am just, you know, that was just so upsetting just to hear a poor little boy that can't see without his glasses, and he's scared to death as it is. And
exactly.
I just hope that we can find a way to get to these hostages and eliminate Hamas, but I don't know if it's a possibility. I do not know. So, David, let's go on to the 13 key points that they talk about. Do you have it there?
I'm looking. Okay, yes. The list of key events, day 13 of this war. Okay, so yes, let's go through them. So the death toll in Gaza stands at 3,478 killed, while another 12,065 others have been wounded. In the occupied West Bank, 69 people have been killed and 1,300 wounded. In Israel, at least 1,400 people have been killed and 3,800 injured since October 7th when the Hamas attacks happened.
Good
so Israel
God.
Has issued new evacuation orders telling residents of Gaza to move southward along the coast where humanitarian aid would be available. The only cancer hospital in Gaza, Turkish Palestinian Friendship Hospital, is on the verge of shutting down due to the lack of fuel. So imagine those people suffering with this deadly disease, cancer. They need all sorts of help and all sorts of drugs to be administered. But yet still, because of the bombing and because of lack of resources, because of this war going on, you know, this way to die. What a way to die.
Yeah. Yes. It's not even.
And diplomacy. Diplomacy now. The British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, he's a leader for the Conservative Party, who's in power now in Britain, has landed in Tel Aviv to meet Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Isaac Herzog. Sunak will visit Herzog residence 11 a.m. Our time, and U.S. President Joe Biden visited Tel Aviv on Wednesday to extend support to Israel. He backed the Israel version of the horrific bombings of the Al-Ahib Arab Hospital in Gaza that was caused by Palestinian groups. So Joe Biden also said he has struck a deal with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza by Friday, which is tomorrow. But on Wednesday, the United States vetoed a United Nations Security Council resolution that called for sending humanitarian aid to Gaza. You know, why the hell did they do that? That's cruel.
Yeah.
That Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida made a series of phone calls to leaders of Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia, talking to Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, that son of a bitch. He expressed his outrage over the hospital attack and announced $10 million in aid for Palestinians. Not the Prime Minister of Japan, the son of a bitch, but the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Because remember, he killed Jamal Khashoggi. He was involved in the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. Anyway, moving along, that's a different topic of discussion. Russia announced it would deliver 27 tons of humanitarian aid to Gaza. Chinese President Xi Jinping told Egyptian Prime Minister Mustafa Madbouly that Beijing wants to enhance cooperation with Egypt for stability in the Middle East region. You know, so a lot of things coming into play here with world powers, United States, Russia, you know, Great Britain, who, you know, you can't blame them for what's happening in Palestine now. You know, the divide and conquer mentality, what they did before leaving Palestine, assured the Jewish people that they'll have their own state and, you know, the mandate that they gave to the new United Nations at the time. You know, coming on to people's land and, you know, saying, hey, this is your land now. You know, so, I mean, you know, that's typical Britain. That's typical empire, you know, thinking where, you know, it's like, how can I put it? They did it to India. They did it to everywhere that they colonialized Great Britain. You know, before leaving, they just stir the pot up. It's okay, we're out. Bye, peace out. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll have conflict. And so thank you, Great Britain. Thank you so much. Yeah. Moving on, business and economy. Asian markets tumbled amid fear that the Israeli-Hamas crisis spilling into the wider conflict in the Middle East or full-blown war. Well, I think, you know, there's a full-blown war between Hamas and Israel, but who else will get involved? Because most, or if not all, the Muslim countries are backing Palestinians, and some people are talking about how Hamas are heroes. And then Hezbollah from Lebanon said that they're going to join the war if the bombing continues and if they put boots on the ground. So that's worrisome. Yeah. And all three main Wall Street indexes ended in the red. Asia falling suit on Hong Kong, Tokyo, Sydney, Seoul, and Singapore dipping more than 1 percentage point, according to Reuters. Losses were also observed in Shanghai, Manila, Jakarta, and Wellington. So because of this war now, you know, the markets are taking a tumble and a nosedive. And God knows, with COVID a couple of years back, you know, we can't have another world economic depression or recession. You know, because remember when George Bush was president in 2008, was it, or before that, you know, week after week, we lost jobs, you know. America's hemorrhaging. And if we sneeze, the whole world reacts adversely, you know. So let's just hope diplomacy can work, and let's hope that it will, you know, widen, where Egypt come in and then Saudi Arabia. You know, because as far as I'm concerned, Saudi Arabia and Israel are trying to work out a peace deal, and because of what Hamas did, that just shit on the deal totally. There's no way, no how there will be peace between these two countries or even in the Middle East, because Hamas' main goal is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And also, Iran made a statement in 1979 when Ayatollah Khamenei came to power and got rid of Shah that, hey, Israel, we're gonna wipe you off the face of the earth. I'm not saying, you know, it's fair, but Israel have a right to defend themselves. So, you know,
of course,
that's my take on it.
David, if I may,
yeah.
I'm getting information right now from MSNBC that Biden is going to be asking for humanitarian aid tomorrow. And here's the saddest part of everything. We can talk all we want about Hamas and Gaza and Israel and Palestine. We can't even take care of our own house.
No.
Okay.
You're absolutely
That's the bottom line right there. Because right now Dan Goldman is saying if they don't get their shit together, you can't help nobody or anybody, however you want to say it. There are trucks sitting at the border. I'm looking right at them, of humanitarian aid. And if you can't take care of your own business, how can you help somebody else?
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem.
Yes. And, you know, Jim Jordan.
How do we do that?
Well, Jim Jordan should, if he was a human being, and if he cared about anyone, if he had any sort of compassion for what's happening around the world, he would have just stepped down like a man. Instead, he's a bully. He's a bully.
He wants to be a bully.
He has made phone calls. And you know what? There is also one of the congressmen in the House. I didn't want to get to this yet, but he had to get protection for his middle school child because of the threats they were getting, because he didn't want to vote for Jordan. Yes, absolutely true. So what kind of a man is
he? What have we become?
Human. All he's looking at is power. He's sickening. Now, McHenry, I'm not saying that I did some research on him. He's definitely conservative, but at least he's got some logic. But Jordan, he should have just stepped down. They wanted, you know, the Democrats were going to come together, you know, with some of the Republicans and make McHenry an interim speaker and give him limited power so they could at least get aid to Israel and Gaza and where it's needed. But no, Jim Jordan wants to have another freaking vote tomorrow. I can't stand that man.
They've announced that more Republicans are going to vote against him.
Yes.
That's fine. Let them. Because eventually...
That doesn't matter. The son of a bitch is still going to, like you said, the son of a bitch is still going to be up there disrupting everything instead of getting our house in order.
Exactly. He's showing us what he's going to do. And he's not even speaker. He's showing us disarray, disrespect for the Constitution, disrespect for our country. Disrespect for the people of Israel and Ukraine. I'm sorry, but that's what he's
doing.
Don't
be sorry. Don't be sorry, because that is the actual truth. That's what we're facing. If you can't take care of your own house, you cannot help anybody else.
No.
Exactly.
You know, and here we have, David, I just sent it to you. The next thing we should talk about is what President Biden to do. It's at the bottom if you want to look at it real quick.
According to Politico, Biden administration registered two funding requests, domestic and national security, for Congress, and the Congress can't do anything because they don't have a goddamn Speaker of the House. For the second time in a row now, the second day, Jim Jordan has even lost 20 more votes than he got the first time in the first round of balloting. So the decent, respectful thing to do is to bow out. But Jim Jordan, being the lackey and stooge of Donald Trump, is staying in there and fighting an impossible battle, because both Democrats and Republicans don't like this man. He's an insurrectionist. He's a rape ableist. He is just a corrupt piece of shit, vile human being.
Yep.
You know, and the people of Ohio should know better than voting for this clown. He's a loser, just like Donald Trump.
He's never passed a bill in 16 years. What the hell is he doing there? What has he done to collect his?
Yeah,
he's a loudmouth lackey. He's a destructive person. He's only there to make trouble for our country and for our people. That's all he's there for. Get him the hell out of there.
So the Biden administration is expected to send Congress a funding request for domestic prizes next week. And it's roughly $100 billion, the national security request. It's expected to cover aid to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, as well as funding to address the nation's southern border. So, you know, I don't know if you realize that I think it was 2 days ago, New Mexico and Texas share a border. And do you know the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott? He and the immigration people on the border who protect the border, they actually put up a barbed wire fence. So if anybody tried to, you know, get between Texas and Mexico, you know, they could get seriously hurt or killed. You know, so these people that call themselves, you know, pro-life, but they take great pleasure in murdering people on the border. Sickening. It's dehumanizing.
David, do you know, can you explain what the reason is that, I mean, Texas and New Mexico? New Mexico is a state in the United States. So what is
exactly
the problem? I have no idea.
I guess because we're a blue state and they're a deep red state. And, you know, just tried doing everything to embarrass my governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, who's doing an absolutely fabulous job and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing more than it come down to politics and playing theatrics, you know, to like ride up their base and everything. And as you know, a couple of months back, I think it was near 6 months ago now, where this guy Pena, I can't remember his name, first name, but his last name Pena, he ran for a city commissioner seat as a Republican, as a Trump Republican. He lost pretty badly. He was blown out of the water. And a normal, regular human being with common sense would say, hey, you know what? The election, you know, ran a loss, so congratulations to my opponent. What this nut job though? Hire people to go and drive by his opponent's house along with five other Democrats, and they start shooting randomly through windows and what have you. And it's like a 12-year-old child who's in bed, and thank goodness that the bullet didn't catch her. So this is where politics is at in America, where these lunatics, these sociopaths who call themselves Republicans, you know, they can't accept defeat with grace, so they decide to, like, go out there and start shooting because they don't get their own way. And it's disgusting. It's reprehensible. You know, and people like that should be thrown in prison. And I says, cut the head off of the snake by putting Donald Trump in prison for during the duration of this trial that's going on in Georgia and the three other trials that await him. Because this man has been so toxic and vile that he's, you know, the latest thing that I heard he did was put Letitia James's address on his Truth social media. I mean, the way people the way people, you know, hate this woman for doing her job, these right-wing loons, these jesters, these jokers, you know? So the poor woman now, you know, having security and have to relocate and what have you and have to protect her family. I mean, come on, man. Aren't we better than this? Republicans, aren't you better than this? Are you this afraid of Donald Trump? One orange man, this buffoon, this moron, this idiot, who can't string two or three sentences together, much less. And you want him to be a leader and you president? Jesus Christ, get it together, man.
Can you imagine if Trump was president right now? With the situation, with what we have going on around the world with Israel, Ukraine, can you imagine that lunatic? I mean, he's already said mm-hmm. Hamas were smart people. They're smart people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He already said that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? I don't even want to imagine it. That would be my nightmare. But I did find, David, I did find the article about, because it's very intriguing to me about this fence that they're building. And it mm-hmm. says, is expanding border security with new fencing. But the latest construction isn't along the southern border. It's along the state's border with New Mexico. The Texas National Guard members were seen installing razor wire along the Rio Grande River north of El Paso, Texas. Mm-hmm. The area around El Paso is fortified with fencing and wire, and mm-hmm. the city continues to grapple with an influx of migrants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he went on to say, Greg Abbott went on to say, migrants are entering New Mexico illegally, then crossing into Texas. Really?
What proof does he have? What proof does he have of that, really?
Exactly.
What proof does he have of that?
Yeah, you're right, David. To me, I don't see any proof. You know, it goes on to say that Abbott's border initiative, dubbed Operation Lone Star, has also included empty shipping containers along the border with Mexico and creating a barrier made of floating buoys. So that we knew about, right? The state is currently in court in the Biden administration. That we knew about. And so what gives him the right to do that on the New Mexico border? What is it? I know he's saying they're coming over. What? How many can there be? How many, really?
Exactly. And, you know, on the border, the border between Texas and New Mexico, because I remember going, coming from Florida, and it's like a fortified, you know, there's no way, you know, hundreds of illegal immigrants can, like, go through, because they'll stop you, they'll question you, if they suspect you, they'll ask to get out of the car, they'll search a car, what have you, you know, so... I mean, it's like a fortress, basically, getting out of Texas to come in New Mexico and vice versa. So I don't know what this man, Greg Abbott, is going on about. Oh, you know, they're coming in New Mexico and coming over to Texas. First of all, you know, fuck Texas. You know, I mean, New Mexico, I'm not saying we're the richest state, but we've got things going. You know, Joe Biden, in his State of the Union speech, he gave at the start of the year, there was a CHIPS program, for example. He was saying that in New Mexico, they're building, or they have built, a place where they build chips, going to build chips, and the next 10 years we'll see stats and results and everything. So we'll have to depend on China or Asia for these chips.
Yeah.
You know? And so New Mexico is creating more jobs. So Greg Abbott... He needs to shut his mouth and I don't know, get a brain or something. These people are lunatics, have no business in government, and they don't want to talk to you, obviously, clearly. So, Eric, if you're listening, please call back in, because we've been having some technical difficulties, and when I was trying to get you through, I don't know if you hung up or you got cut off, but... Yeah, I know you're waiting a long time and everything, so I do apologize about that. So, Eric in Michigan, if you're listening, call back in, please. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, speaking of the devil, Jim Jordan, let's talk about him, the lunatic, the loser.
Let's talk about his constituents who keep hiring him back in office. What is wrong with them?
Maybe it's a gerrymandered district. Maybe it's a gerrymandered district. Just
start there.
That's so, do you think I can get the shit together and elect somebody as House Speaker, or is this going to go on and go on until November 17th when the debt ceiling is up for a vote again, and we may have
now,
a government shutdown?
Does anyone know Matt Gaetz? I know that McCarthy told him to basically sit down and shut up today. And
yeah, right.
Yeah. So Matt Gaetz I believe, does not want him as speaker. That's what I got out of it. I'm not sure I'm 100% right. So here's the article, and it says former Speaker Kevin McCarthy scolded Matt Gaetz during a closed-door GOP conference. And that's the other thing. Why are all their meetings for this closed door? Is it because they're F-bombing each other constantly? Is that what's happening? You know?
One of the reasons.
And they want the public to hear? That's probably what they're doing. So he's telling, during the closed-door GOP conference meeting Thursday, telling the Florida Republican to sit down when he tried to interrupt McCarthy's remarks. The interaction came as House Republicans met for almost 4 hours to consider possible paths forward as the conference struggles to coalesce around a candidate speaker after Gaetz led a group of 8 Republicans who joined Democrats to oust McCarthy. The conference nominated Jim Jordan of Ohio for the post, but he failed on 2 floors, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said before, why doesn't Matt Gaetz, why doesn't Jordan just be a man, sit his ass down, and shut up? And let them do their work, the bully that he is.
Yeah, because Matt Gaetz is a whore. He's a media whore.
Yeah.
He wants attention.
Yeah.
His rich daddy
and
probably didn't give
him a
growing
up.
Yes,
he is.
And yeah,
he pedophile.
Yeah, Rip McCoy is a pedophile.
Yep. And we have
Eric calling from Michigan. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. Hi, it's me.
Hi, Eric.
Welcome back, Eric. Hello.
Yeah, sorry about that. Eric. I was just kind of out and about, but, you know, like I said, I got time to kind of squeeze in here. Just give my epic breakdowns, as always.
Mm-hmm.
Just to know, Sidney Powell.
One of the questions I saw in the text was, I guess one of the things that you asked was, could America invade Iran? I don't know if you guys discussed that already or haven't gotten to it yet.
A little bit.
But,
a little bit, not deeply.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I have to say about that is I'm not sure here's the thing. So it's like, could we do it? Yeah.
Would we win? No.
Yeah. And would we do it? Would we win? Most likely not. Of course, they have the backing of a number of other countries that if they team up together,
that's
I mean, kind of a tough match right there. Should we do it? No. No, I would say we shouldn't. I think that it was a good policy that Obama put in. Of course, Trump removed it to nobody's surprise. The Iran nuclear deal, which helps prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons, and it's an indirect peace negotiation. Of course, Trump took that away. It'd be really nice if the Biden administration put that back. That'd be a huge win on foreign policy as well. I think the best thing right now, what I'm pushing for the Biden-Harris administration to do on foreign policy is we got out of Afghanistan, which was a good move, but we need to get out of Iraq. We need to get out of Iran, stay out of Iran, get out of Syria. We need to end the weapons deal with Saudi Arabia, stop aiding the genocide in Yemen, which Biden put a pause on that, which is a good thing. We need to continue to normalize relations with Cuba. And I would say preferably get out of Ukraine as well and also get out of Israel, Gaza, all of that. So like I said, the foreign policy thing is kind of a mixture. I mean, all the presidents kind of had a downside when it came to foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing is, Eric, if you listen to President Biden's speech tonight, he's not going to back away from Israel, and he's not going to back away from Ukraine. He has a plan that he's going to present next week. I think it's $100 billion. For aid for them, et cetera, which I truly believe we need to do. And like I said previously, you probably didn't hear, I was talking about democracy around the world. That's what we're trying to save, democracy around the world. And the other countries that you mentioned, Yeah, we need to get the hell out of there. Get the hell out. But I don't know. You know, I know a little, but I don't know enough, like all the foreign leaders and our president. I don't know enough to say, you know, we should be in or out. I really don't. But I do agree with President Biden as far as Ukraine goes and, you know, Israel, and to help the people of, and help the Palestinians as well. And he did mention them tonight. He really did. And,
but the thing is, people, everyone, why the hell are we selling arms to Saudi Arabia? Because Saudi Arabia has schools who literally teach the Quran 24/7. And,
yep.
You know, the strong jihadist message that they have about hating America and hating the West. You know, I know they have oil and everything. Are we so dependent on their oil that we'll bend over backward, even though they're teaching, you know, this radicalism, this Islamic radicalism of their people hating our people? It's ridiculous. We should stop training arms.
The reason why we're doing what we're doing in Saudi Arabia right now is because I heard that. Now, this part I might have to do a little deeper research on, but I heard it was the Bush administration that started that. I don't know if it was Bush Senior or Junior. And for all we know,
Junior.
It could have been even before Bush Senior. I mean, who knows? Yeah, yeah. And so they were, again, this is why I said that the one way that the Bush administration was worse than the Trump administration is in the sense that they were able to tell lies about things and get away with it by most people. And the thing about it is, They want to sit there and say we wanted to implement stability, bring about more democracy in these other nations. All we did was tear a lot of these nations down. And by saying that we want to, you know, Saudi Arabia is supposed to be our ally. And I automatically just tell anybody who says that it's false because, I mean, Saudi Arabia is known for violating human rights. I mean, look at how – I mean, of course we have misogyny and sexism here in America, but how they do it out there is something on a whole new scale. You know, they're openly bombing places like mosques and churches and stores and drone bombing weddings and whatnot. And unfortunately, no president after that has really eliminated that. Of course, Biden, you know, took it down a great notch, but I think the best thing to do would just be to get out of that overall.
I agree.
Yeah.
By the way – have you heard that Sidney Powell just pleaded guilty?
Yes, on six counts. And she flipped on Trump.
She's going to testify against Trump and his allies.
Yes, she is.
Good.
Well, like I said, the dominoes are really starting to fall on that one. And
I hope to help, though, Eric.
The walls are really closing in on Trump.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. He's like a madman. You know, he's been saying, he thinks that he's running against Obama. Have you all heard that? I mean, he has said it
times. In one of his rambling speech
that's
in Iowa.
Yes, that's how flipped out this man is. You know, but Sidney Powell, Sidney Powell, an attorney who was a key figure in former President Donald Trump's alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election, pleaded guilty to six misdemeanor counts after reaching an agreement with prosecutors in Fulton County, Georgia. Powell appeared in the Superior Court of Fulton County in Atlanta on Thursday, where a prosecutor laid out the terms of the plea deal. In the exchange for her pleading guilty, Powell was sentenced to 6 years probation.
Great.
Plus pay $6,000 fine and $2,700 in restitution to the state of Georgia. Judge Scott McAfee, who is overseeing the case, signed off on the agreement and the hearing. Powell is also required to testify truly against any and all co-defendants in this manner, McAfee said. So here we go. So Powell was among go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. No, finish what you're saying. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, it's okay. I'll just finish this one little section. Powell was among the conservative lawyers who pushed baseless claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election, endorsing outlandish theories of foreign interference and ballot manipulation to try to reverse the results. See, participated in a conference meeting with the White House in December 2020, during which health lawyers confronted her and lawyer Rudy Giuliani about their election plans. So there's 18 officers, including Trump, that were charged. We all know them. So this is really very interesting. I can't wait to see her testify.
Did you hear the frosting on?
Somebody have.
Go ahead.
Did you hear the frosting on with Powell? She has to write a letter of apology to the people of Georgia.
Yes, she does.
Okay. Somebody have background sound, terrible feedback and everything. Can you like turn
the radio
off?
Yeah, tell them to mute their phone, David.
Yeah.
Tell them to mute their phone. Tell them to put their phone on mute.
Yeah, we're kind of getting a bad feedback and everything.
Exactly.
So I'm hearing
it through there too. I'm not really sure where it's at, but yeah.
I don't either.
So my question now is Sidney Powell flip. Sidney Powell flip. So why there should be some sort of punishment because she's challenged all these lawsuits in different states, lost. Mm-hmm. So what these states will do? Will she lose her license? Or some harsh punishment because
she should. Yeah. For law license, absolutely. That should go. Mm-hmm. Say bye. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. She used it. No, she should not have a law license. Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what happened to Trump? Let's see. Oh, he was denied. You have that there, David, don't you?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Okay. He denied Trump's attempt.
Yeah, again, the feedback.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I don't know either. I'm wondering, not from my end. I don't know if somebody has a TV playing in the background or something.
Yeah, I don't know either, but
somebody is on the line and did not mute their phone, meaning they can still hear the show, but the show cannot hear the background music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody hit mute, whoever it is.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, David.
Oh, yeah,
go ahead,
so... She should have some jail time, for real. That's the only logical thing, even though she might testify against Trump and company.
Well, let's see what she
because Giuliani lost his license. The other guy from what's his name? From Wisconsin lost his license. So why is she so special?
She
might.
Depends on how juicy her story is.
Yeah. And next week, the RICO case will come up on everything. And I just hope Trump, learn from his mistakes, which I don't hide because he's so arrogant and narcissistic.
Eric, I mean, David, please. As wishful thinking that would be, that will never happen. Shameful it is. You cannot build a building without a foundation. And once again, we need to take care of our shit at home, to put it bluntly, before we can go help Israel. Even I don't know why he's asking for that. They need the money. I get it. And I hope it just stays there as far as Israel and Ukraine, and we don't get involved anywhere else and take care of our business at home. Back to Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
They may have been gerrymandered, but them judges, somebody's got to, we can't do it ourselves, but these people in Ohio realize what's going on. What's it going to take to get these people in Ohio to wake up, these politicians? I don't know. It's just so damn frustrating that they're being sneaky behind everybody's back. They're gerrymandering the maps, and nobody's stopping them. I just don't get it.
Stopping them.
Well, one thing I want to say right quick, too.
Go ahead, Eric.
yeah, one thing I'm going to say is, and by the way, who all is here? What do we have? Elaine, Susie, Madeline, are you all here?
Yeah, I'm here, dear.
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Madeline, Susie. Okay, good to hear from you all, as always. I'm only cutting it a little bit shorter this time, only because there's a few other matters I'm going to attend to later on. But then, like I said, I will make time for this next time. As I said, there's still plenty of other candidates that I'm going to reach out to and officials to help with these elections for 2024, not just for presidential, but for Senate, Congress, governor, all of it. So, of course, Lori and David have all my information, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's Eric Brantley, E-R-I-K, Brantley, B-R-A-N-T-L-E-Y. My phone number and my email address are available on all of my sites and sources. Feel free to reach out to me whenever. Let's do this in 2024.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Here, absolutely.
All righty. Well, everybody, feel free to call me whenever. I'm going to get to a few things, and I will definitely catch on more next time.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for calling in, Eric. We appreciate your contribution.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you all.
Mm-hmm. Same to you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Night.
Yeah.
Good night, Eric.
Bye-bye.
And that was Eric Brantley. He has a YouTube channel. You can check it out. He gives movie reviews. He gives popular TV show reviews. And, you know, occasionally talk about politics, what's going on in America and the world. So check him out. Eric Brantley is his name. He's a good YouTube channel. And he's a regular contributor here to the show. And we appreciate him for coming on and taking time to call in and give us 2 cents and everything. So now, the next thing on the agenda, Trump again is denied by the judge. He tried to delay the January 6th civil lawsuit against him. And a federal judge on Wednesday denied Trump this, delay tactic because a lawsuit is against him seeking civil damages over January 6th, the Capitol Hill attack, after Trump was indicted on federal criminal charges stemming from 2020 election on January 6th. His attorneys in August attempted to put the civil suit on hold, citing substantial overlap. So the U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta denied Trump's stay motion in a brief order issuing Wednesday, calling the request unwarranted. And according to Judge Mehta, the quote, the case remains at the motion to dismiss stage. The claimed dilemma posed by simultaneously defending himself in the case and his criminal case only will arise, if at all, during the discovery phase. His request is therefore premature. Further, the balance of interests, including plaintiffs and the public's in moving this matter forward, do not favor a stay. So Sandra Garza, longtime partner of Brian Sicknick, a U.S. Capitol police officer who died hours after the Capitol attack, sued Trump just ahead of the second anniversary of January 6th. Sicknick was pepper sprayed during the attack and passed away the following day after suffering 2 strokes. The medical examiner months later ruled he died from natural cause as well. Nothing that all that transpired played a role in his condition. The U.S. Capitol Police said Sicknick died in the line of duty. So here again, this asshole Trump trying to evade justice and not taking accountability and, you know, his usual delay tactics. He's wanting, you know, to go right up till the election next year, hoping that he'll win, but hopefully he'll be in prison before then. And what do you do in a case where if the Republicans nominate him and he's sitting in prison, you know, could he be elected president? You know, just think about that for a minute. It would be a constitutional crisis. You know, do you think the Republicans generally going to, you know, nominate this man again? Starting with Lori, what do you think?
Hell no. Absolutely not. No. I think as time goes on and we see how he is, like when he's like, for instance, when he was in Iowa and he was just rambling on and he was talking about Obama and, you know, I have a gag order now and he's pretending like he's choking himself. I mean, if you have any sense at all, think about what the President of the United States job is and then put him in those shoes for 2 minutes, and you should be able to understand that he belongs nowhere but prison. That is it. He belongs
mm-hmm.
nowhere
mm-hmm.
but prison. So that's my take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Trump separately asked a judge to dismiss him from a lawsuit arguing that he had immunity as president and that the claims uh-huh. concern Trump's political speech that is protected by the First Amendment. The judge has not yet issued a ruling. So, you know, in other words, like Richard Nixon said, you know, the president can be prosecuted. Well, if they wanted to prosecute Richard Nixon and he had to resign as president, who the hell Donald Trump think he is? Bigger than Nixon? Bigger than the Constitution? This man is crazy, you know? This man is out of line. He's out of order. He's lost his mind. Something
mm-hmm.
wrong with him. He's sick.
Yeah,
There's something wrong with him.
You know, I think he's gotten to the point where he's almost delusional because he can't for a moment, if he has like a moment of solitude, like if, let's say he goes into the bathroom to go to the bathroom, okay, and he has 5 minutes that he's sitting there or 10 minutes, he has got to have
mm-hmm.
some sort of a moment thinking, holy crap, everything that I've done through the years is coming and it's crashing down on me. I mean, he's got to have those moments. I don't believe that he doesn't have those. I don't. And that's, what he should, you know.
Lori, he's gotten away with so much for so long, he doesn't even know what the right thing is.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think I agree with
Evelyn.
No. Yeah.
He does not
know
what to do the right thing.
I'm not saying that he knows what the right thing is. I am saying that this man has to, at some point, even if it's a five-minute break where he's
mm-hmm.
got no one around him, let's say he's in a dark room for 5 minutes, he's got to have a sense of, oh, my God, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in jail. I believe that he has, and that's why he's lashing out so bad, so much, because
mm-hmm.
I think he's
mm-hmm.
starting to realize that the shit is coming down. It is.
Yep.
That's what I think.
Yep.
Panic. But I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we all see it, Lori.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's sweating.
And then,
he's cursing.
Embarrassing.
He's embarrassing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Horribly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about the judges, the clerks. That's all. He's like a petulant child. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
David, I know there's nothing this man, he has no clue what the real world is. He doesn't live in the real world. So when you say, Lori, will he have 5 minutes to realize what's going on around him? I don't really think that he thinks it's going to faze him a bit. He's just handling one trial at a time. And right now that judge on the fraud case is making him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's his brand. That's his. He
mm-hmm.
claims to be a billionaire. They take
yep.
that away, everything is dominoes, just like Eric says.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
I agree.
Can't wait. Can't wait. That's all I want to say. Can't wait.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
It's we're in sad shape, folks. That I never thought.
No,
I don't know.
I
just.
Go ahead,
David.
Yeah, so
I was
saying, okay, in New York, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's okay, nothing important.
Okay, so a New York judge asked former Trump to pipe down as he grew animated while a witness testified against him in the civil fraud trial. And what this orange buffoon, was doing was talking to his lawyers in earshot of the witness, you know. I don't know if Trump was trying to give the witness hints or what to say.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know what we're trying to prove. So Judge Arthur Engoron issued a warning after Trump threw his hands up in the air in frustration and conferred with his lawyers in real estate appraiser Doug Larson's second day of testimony.
You know, this was according to the Associated Press. Kevin Wallace, a lawyer with the State Attorney General's office, requested that Erdogan ask the defense to stop commenting during the witness's testimony. So I don't know if that was trying to intimidate the witness or, you know, I don't know what the fuck he was doing. You know, judge said, Trump, shut the fuck up, basically. Why to keep giving him more and more chances after, if it were anybody else, they would be in jail or they would put a gag over his mouth or something. Why is Trump getting such special treatment? It's sickening. It's maddening. You know?
I know. I agree.
He's trying to influence the testimony. So, what is he trying? What is he proving?
You know, put him in a tether and put him in Mar-a-Lago and he can't leave, you know? And he can't be on a computer or any sort of device. That's what they need to do if they don't want to put him in prison. You know, see, when you say sometimes, you know, the judge, like Judge Tunkin, they said that she's in a bad spot. And she probably is in a bad spot. I don't know. But they say she's in a bad spot because this is unprecedented. We have never had the President of the United States, you know, in so many 91 counts against them, 4 different trials, you know, now the civil one in New York. And, you know, and he's running for president, in quotes, at the same time. So your First Amendment rights are, he can, you know, talk about what he wants, which he doesn't do, but he, you know, he has a right to talk about his campaign. And he's been traveling all around. But if she puts him in prison or lockdown or however you want to put it, you know, then is she taking away his Fourth Amendment rights? So she's basically on uncharted waters because there's been no other case like this. And I kind of feel for her because I don't know what I would do either. I mean, I would want to put him in prison, but then he's running for freaking president. So
that's secondary, Laurie.
No, I'd put his ass in jail. Make an example out of him to show him that nobody, to show that nobody's above the goddamn law.
Uh-huh.
The rules are there.
I agree with David.
You know,
I agree
enough
with David.
Is enough. How many chances?
I'm playing devil's advocate because This is a discussion that I listened to, and this is exactly what they were saying. And I don't know. I mean, I want him in prison as well. Don't think that I don't. I want him locked up and put tape over his mouth so he can't ever talk. I mean, that's what I would like until he's told to talk. But, you know, we have never had a former president and a president, and he's running for freaking president, and we know why. You know, these judges are, you know, they're on uncharted waters. So I don't know.
Go ahead, Elaine.
He's a massive, big baby. He's a spoiled brat. And what he is doing is he's having one tantrum after another.
Yes, he is.
Hence, put him in jail, make him cool off. Make him an example for other people out there. You know, imagine when they put the people who went to the January 6th thing and caused havoc and everything. Some of these people still have no regrets. You know, I should get harsher sentences than that because I'm positive that in 2024, if and when Republicans, whoever the candidate is, whether it's Trump or whoever else, lose, they say, oh, no, it was stolen. And the same goddamn thing will happen again. Because these people, these cultists, don't learn, you know? And if you're not making an example of Donald Trump.
There's nothing rational with somebody that has hate and greed.
They're
not rational.
No,
they never will be.
But that was the discussion that I listened to. And I, like I said, it is uncharted waters. And that was the basis of the discussion that, you know, they've never had a former president that, you know, had all these charges against him, and they've never had, you know, one that's running for office, and he's only running for office so he can, you know, get out of going to prison. He can get a, you know, get out of going to prison card, you know, and escape free, which isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. But yes, and I agree with all of you. Think he should be in prison cooling off? Hell yes, absolutely. But would I want to be the judge that does that? I don't know. Maybe that judge will be a hero, or a hero, you know, maybe. Maybe the judge will be a hero doing that.
Yeah, maybe a judge,
you know,
maybe he has to go
stand up.
Witness protection.
Pardon?
Maybe he has to go into witness protection.
Yeah, I mean, something. You know?
I know.
I mean, just do it.
No. All they can do is follow the rule of law, and that's what they're stuck with right now, unfortunately.
That's what they're trying to do.
The rule of law is what's going to guide this, unfortunately. So that one judge slapped him right. He no sooner went out into the lobby and posted a picture. By the time he got back in in the courtroom, the judge had him half-gagged. That's what he needs, and that's why he's furious. He's sweating.
Oh, he's furious.
Oh, my God. I've never seen him so mad. But that's what he needs.
Maybe he'll pop a
the other judge. Oh, just imagine when Jack Smith gets him.
Oh, I know.
I can't wait for that one.
Yep.
Oh, it's going to be the best. So, patience a little bit, folks. I know we've lost our patience for sure. But,
yes.
Months, years ago.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
but maybe we're coming to a, I can't think of the word, but I do believe that he knows we mean business, and he's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next judge will learn from the previous judge, and then the next judge will learn from the two previous judges.
Well, you know, like we said, there's never been a case like this.
Exactly.
You know? They're all going... They're all like, oh, my God, I have this crazy man. Oh, can't even imagine. I wouldn't want to be in any of their
Before we move on to the next topic about House chaos is masking the Senate's GOP danger to national security with the Department of Tomberville, blocking three nominees from being interviewed by the Senate before confirmation and being voted on for confirmation. I'm going to play Jordan Klepper's eye-opening return to the Trump Mazzarella Trail. It's from The Daily Show 3 days ago. And, he was in New Hampshire, he was in Iowa, he was in some other states. And, you know, this is just highlights of what, you know, went down with Trump and his supporters when Jordan Klepper spoke with them. I was just sort of sure madness going on. Talk about indictment and why no matter how many indictments Trump gets, they're still going to support him. You know, this is both infuriating and it's cause for concern. Here it is.
Been
busy campaigning and juggling certain legal commitments. Well, I've also been incredibly productive during these last few months. I started 4 scripts. You know, a little bit of a novella, actually. Long story short, 5 months later, bumpkin. Very little to show for it. But I think it's been good, you know, emotionally, just to kind of stretch yourself, see what else is out there. Find your voice, really. This is my voice, for better or worse. So I'm still warming up. But I was excited to see the sights and sounds and the long lines of politically engaged citizens.
Whatever Trump does is smart.
That's just sort of your boilerplate. You don't have to think through it. You've just given him that credibility.
And it didn't take long to spot the new piece of must-have MAGA merch, the mugshot.
Never surrender to the tyranny.
What is Trump doing here on this shirt?
This is his mugshot.
Gotcha. So that was taken when he surrendered to authorities to have his picture taken.
Huh? It says never surrender, but...
Is that on the back? Is the butt? Let me see the back. Let me see the back.
I think
but,
it's just Trump.
It's just Trump. So where's the butt part? That's implied. Nick, take me through your fit.
Well, I bought the socks in town.
These socks have Trump hair on it.
Yes, sir.
How much did you pay for the sweatshirt?
$40.
Yeah. How much you pay for the hat?
25. I think I get a hat at least once a month.
How many Trump hats do you have?
Probably 40 or so.
How do you feel America's doing under Biden?
Not good. I think, you know, inflation and the gas price, everything has gone up. Milk and eggs are just through the roof, like buying regular food. And, you know, you got to work four jobs to pay your rent.
Yeah. How much money have you spent on Trump swag?
$2,000.
Wow, that's a lot. But people are having a hard time paying for the necessities.
Right.
As the Donald rolled in, I wondered what fresh ideas I had missed on the campaign trail.
He's been out in Iowa talking about, when I was there, he was talking about how he changed the name from Crooked Hillary to Crooked Joe Biden.
Oh, so he focused on the issues.
Yeah.
Great.
Sadly, the Donald campaign appearances aren't the only thing on his schedule.
So how many indictments are we up to now?
Georgia.
Georgia. Okay, great.
That's New York City.
New York City.
That's the most, the bankruptcy.
And New York is the bankruptcy one. Great. Hard to keep straight. Yeah.
Right. Yep. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
There's way too many.
I think they're just trying to throw him in jail.
Yeah.
To witch hunt. Like what he said in New York.
Is that pre or post the first indictment?
I think that was right when the lady charges.
Wait, lady charges. Is that Stormy Daniels lady charge or sexual assault?
Sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
Yeah.
You're found guilty of, right?
I think so.
I think so. Are you 100% sure you're voting for Donald Trump in the next election?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what happens with these trials, this election still comes down to their guy versus the other guy.
I mean, Trump has done more than Biden will ever do. And that's the other side of it. He should be in jail, him and his kid, for treason. I mean, they're taking money from other countries who we're not really in favor of.
It's insane. The fact that, like, you can have a member of your family get billions of dollars from Saudi Arabia is nuts.
Yeah.
Right?
There's nothing but a big cover-up.
Do you think Trump should be punished for all of that money that Ivanka and Jared got?
No.
Nope. Well, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Biden with his kid.
Oh, not the Jared and Ivanka money from Saudi Arabia.
No.
Does that bother you?
No.
Right.
And when it comes to which candidate makes a better commander-in-chief, there's a clear winner.
Trump loves the veterans.
Trump all the way. He's got my vote forever.
And Trump has called for the execution of General Milley. Does that rub you the wrong way as a veteran?
Well, I don't like Milley because he did the Afghanistan thing. Like, all these generals are supposed to know what they're doing. It was a complete disaster.
Yeah. You don't trust the general?
No, I don't.
What do you want to say to Steve Tide?
I just want to see him speak, see what he has to say about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I know Joe Biden was doing a barbecue with his people.
We sent a fleet of naval ships to Israel.
Yes.
You're against that?
I am for that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
So you give Biden credit for that?
That's more the generals making the calls there.
Do we trust those generals?
I don't even know who's in anymore, so I don't care.
Ultimately, I wondered, would these MAGA faithful ever care about any of these criminal charges? Probably not. Exhibit A, just ask what their favorite rally was.
I think January 6th is probably my favorite one.
You were there?
Oh, yeah.
That's your number one. What made it your favorite one? What stood out from January 6th?
Well, aside from all the violence that was planned by the FBI and such.
Do you think, were they Proud Boys and Oath Keepers?
No, they were Antifa, Black Lives Matter, ISIS, and MS-13.
Some of January 6th is perpetrated by ISIS? I mean, this is new.
MS-13, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, ISIS. Yeah.
Can you say MAGA?
Hey, anyone can put a MAGA hat on.
I mean, come on, guys. I hope you don't see any Antifa. There's a lot of Trump hats, and I guess I mean Antifa's here. So, good luck. Or what was your first rally?
January 6th, 2020,
in D.C. If you're going to go to one. Did you make it inside?
I can't say that for legal reasons.
So you may or may not have been involved in a business activity.
Yeah, well, can't get into that one.
Sure. Well, have fun. Hopefully, try not to overthrow any duly elected officials.
No, we'll be good today.
Yeah, I trust him.
Wow. Okay. That was a lot there to swallow.
Well,
my God, these people are nuts. Jesus Christ.
They are. They're nuts.
Yeah. Beyond nuts. No. Jesus
Listen,
Christ.
I don't have enough money because of the inflation, but I buy a hat every time I go. I have 25 of them. I pay $25 a piece. Well, go buy your damn eggs with that money, you dummy.
Almost $1,000 in hat alone.
People, listen, we laugh at these people, and we know they're crazy, or we know they're
I don't know what, I don't even know what the term is anymore, but they are
gullible.
Out there.
Gullible.
It doesn't matter. They're out there. Did you hear them say?
Lori and David and Madeline, there are people out there that still love Hitler. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There were crazy girls that wanted to marry Manson when he was in jail.
Yeah.
You can't fix those kind of people.
Oh, they're broken.
They're very, very damaging.
Yes.
Damaged. They're the damaged. Yep.
Yeah.
And no matter what you say or do, they will not change.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're ignorant. There's an ignorance, but it's not a mean. It's they are genuinely ignorant and not understanding. I don't think they're doing it on purpose. I just really think that's the people he wants to attract. Those are the people that were on January 6th. That's what he feeds. He feeds those people.
Right.
His numbers are going down. His numbers are going down.
Oh, they are. Yeah, President
But not
Biden's
fast enough for us, no doubt. But.
Well, no, President Biden's numbers are going up.
I know.
So, like I said, last week or the week before, and I've mentioned this before, he had 250,000 contributions. For his PAC, for his campaign, from people that have never contributed to him before. That was last week or the week before. So, it does mean something, and it does say something that people are paying attention. And I think they realize that Trump is damaged goods. He is damaged goods. And he is going to destroy our country because it isn't just him. You know, and we've talked about this before. He's just the puppet. But the masters are the ones that have his, you know, have his hands inside of, the puppet masters are behind him, and they're pulling the strings. That's what I'm trying to say.
Who are the puppet masters?
Bannon.
Gates, Jim Jordan. Nigel
Bannon.
Green, Bobart. Go ahead, ladies. Go ahead, David. Who else?
Green.
Bannon.
Yeah, a lot of them to name. There are a lot of them to name. I call them the Kremlin caucus. The crazy Kremlin caucus. That's what I call them.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
The congressman from Colorado, I think his name is Buck. He was threatened four times today because he voted against the idiot in Ohio, Jim Jordan. The call threatened his wife, threatened his family.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody saw it on CNN today, where a recording was played by a constituent, not for congressman from Colorado. They didn't say which congressman and which wife was threatened, but the vitriol and the violence came out of this person's mouth. It almost made me want to vomit. This is where we're at in America, where because I don't get the own way, and I'm stooping to Trump, you know, the primary more than likely, whoever voted against Jim Jordan. And, you know, this would put things in even more disarray. Which I don't mind, because once the Republican Party is in disarray, then, you know, just continue imploding and fighting against each other. But the bad thing about it is that America suffers because of it. And November 17th coming up, where that's a deadline, midnight, before we run out of money, I will need to, you know, get a suite of a house so we can work on, you know, putting more money in the government so it can continue. And not go broke and shut down, because your social security money is there, and all other things, federal workers, now they get paid. You know, everybody have bills, school fees, college tuition, whatever, it's mortgage. Mm-hmm. What are those people going to do? And not surprisingly, these same people who suffer, some of them still go vote Republican, blaming Democrats. I just cannot understand the logic. You know, there's no logic to it. But I give up years ago trying to understand people like that, because it's just so frustrating. And Elaine last week on the show said that, and Eric said that we should, like, try to talk to these people.
I tried. Trust me, I tried. But every time they bring up a point, I counter the points, you know, and show them up, you know, it's like they start shouting over you. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have time nor the patience to talk to these morons. I mean, change of the own volition. You know, I have no time. I don't have no energy because these people, as you hear in a Jordan Klepper clip, they'll never change. You know, no matter how many, how many indictments he has. You know, the rape against E. Jean Carroll, where he was fined how much money. And it's still going to support a rapist. You know, I mean, if this is what the Republican Party has to offer, then America is doomed. If Joe Biden loses in 2024, we can kiss democracy goodbye. It's over, done, finished. There's no coming back after that. And the world will continue laughing at us. Even Xi Jinping from China, he did say, I don't know the venue where it was, I was looking for the video and couldn't find it, that democracy is a joke. Democracy does not work. I was seeing it here now. We'll have like a dysfunctional democracy caused by Republicans. Matt Gaetz and those seven other Republicans voting with Democrats to get rid of McCarthy. McCarthy wasn't the best. I mean, he's a scumbag, yeah, but he's the best scumbag that I had, you know? So, and it's been over 2 weeks now. We haven't had a speak on the House. You know, so it's just a complete shit show. And I hope people, you know, recognize and remember when they go to the ballot boxes what Republicans did to themselves. Stop blaming Democrats for your fuckery. That's what it is. Total and absolute fuckery. It backfired spectacularly. And now the government is at a standstill. The House is at a standstill because there's no speaker. So, you know, tell blame where it lay, Republicans. But I digress.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, I thought this afternoon, I did think this afternoon when I was listening, I thought that they were going to let McHenry be the interim speaker. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened in their closed meeting. That was off the table. And then Jim Jordan said he's going to run again tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. Whoa, you know, really? Yeah. For what? You know, for what?
I feel like Groundhog Day. I don't know if you guys ever seen Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, where he gets up the next morning. It's the same goddamn thing, deja vu.
Yep.
You know, it's frustrating.
Yep.
At least Bill Murray's movie was funny. This is not funny. This is sickening.
Yeah, it is very sickening. It's very depressing as well. So the other person that we should shed a little light on is, what was his name?
Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, David. Hmm? You can go ahead. Do you have it there?
Oh, I was hoping you'll read it, but... Okay, when a former president implied that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Okay. When the former president implied that an American military leader should be executed, it did not make the front page news because top editors dismissed it as more bombastic, empty rhetoric from former President Trump. But now there is no ignoring it. Trump's Republican Party is a genuine threat to the United States of America's national security, and at the moment, specifically, a threat to Israel. Let's look at the facts. First, Senator Tommy Tuberville, a Republican from Alabama, is holding up military promotions, including the nomination of the commander of the U.S. Navy's 5th Fleet. The 5th Fleet, responsible for operations in the Middle East, could be well called upon in aid of Israel. Tuberville says he will not lift his blanket hold, but will allow nominees to proceed individually. That could take weeks or even months. Second, there is no U.S. ambassador to Israel right now. That is because Rand Paul, Republican, Kentucky, is blocking that nomination. So Paul along with Senators Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, and J.D. Vance, Republican from Ohio, is holding up a U.S. U.S. State Department nominations, including the U.S. ambassadorships to Israel, Egypt, Oman, and Kuwait. Paul refuses to confirm anyone to those critical posts until the State Department produces documents relating to the origins of the coronavirus pandemic.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Third, it goes on. Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican from Missouri, has proposed diverting U.S. aid from Ukraine to Israel. Hawley seems to be ignoring possible Russian ties to Hamas, which attacked Israel. Russia's priority is its invasion of Ukraine. It would, of course, welcome the end of the United States' support for Ukrainians. Finally, it's not hard to see that the threat to the United States' national security created by Trump himself when he allegedly shared secrets about the U.S. nuclear submarine capability with an Australian billionaire. Trump, the front runner puke for the Republican nomination, is awaiting trial for mishandling classified documents that put at risk intelligence gathering sources and methods of the U.S. and our allies like Israel. We have our own terrorists in our country holding things up. When we have a president that flew in the middle of the night to Israel to try to make some peace, give them some advice, some common sense to cool things down, and this is what we have in our own country.
And that is why Trump should be in jail. That's why Trump should be in jail during his trials. Fucker in jail. What are they waiting? Yeah. How many chances? I can't stress this enough. You know?
I know. I agree with you.
Oh, my God.
I agree.
David. Lori, here's a question. Is there anything in there, these jackasses that are holding things up in each state that they choose to hold up, is there anything in there, you know, when they swear on the Bible in regards to their job description that they are doing harm to their country? Is there a way, just like when Trump was inaugurated, he swore to hold up the Constitution? Well, he's in trouble for that now. Can't the other ones as well? Isn't there something that there? I would think there would be, because they're acting like they're the enemy, and they are. So they don't need their job.
I don't know. There's got something somewhere that says that they can't do harm the country, and that's what they're doing, harming the country. I just don't know where to look.
How many fires, we could find it, but how many fires can the Democrats put out in a day? How many fires can they put out? They're constantly putting out fires.
Isn't that what we do?
Yeah.
Because the Republicans fuck stuff all the time?
Yeah. They are.
Oh. There's got to be something
in the military, it's 300 appointments.
All right, ladies.
And on the ambassadors, I think it's 30. That's a lot. That's two pretty big numbers there.
There's got to be something in somewhere that, in fine print, that they're doing, they could lose their jobs over it. There's got to be something. There's no way they can have that much power. I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to begin to look, to be honest. That's the hell. Eric, would you get back on and do some research?
The Supreme Court could do something, but we got a fucked up Supreme Court. I'm sorry to have to use that word.
Yeah, that's a conversation. And
this is why elections are important. You know, when you say, Bernie Sanders was, his nomination was stolen. Okay, whatever.
You know, I was a Bernie supporter. But the fact is Hillary was nominee. You get what I'm saying? She's not perfect. Bernie's not perfect. No candidate will ever be perfect. But God damn it, some people sat home and not voted. Some people writing candidates. Some people voted Green Party. She didn't stand a chance in hell. And out of spite, some people voted for Trump. And here we are. You know, good Lord, man. Get it together, people. You know, I'm still a fan of Bernie Sanders. But just get over it. Move on. You know, it killed me when Bernie didn't get a nomination, but move the fuck on. That's what I'm, you know. And up to this day, people still fighting, but, oh, Bernie lost, or Bernie didn't lose. Yeah, it was stolen from him. It's nearly, 9 years. Get over it, people. You know, fuck. That's why we have a Supreme Court like the way we have it now. And at that time, when Obama was running for re-election, for example, you know, Mitch McConnell made a deal with then-minority leader Charles Schumer from New York. And Charles Schumer, like a big buffoon, went up on camera and said, oh, yeah, we had a gentleman's agreement and we shook hands on it. That during a presidential year, we won't have any, you know, processing of Supreme Court nominees. And then when Trump was in there, he appointed three buffoons, bozos, idiots, dominionist Christian asshole, one of them being like a rapist, you know? I like beer. I love beer, crying. I mean, God, is this 1984 being played out? It's frustrating, man.
At times it is.
Makes you want to vomit. You know? Saturday Night Live don't have anything on this crap going on now in society. It's scary. It's freaky.
Yeah, I agree. Very much.
Okay, so I have limited time left. The number is, we just have over 8 minutes left. The number to call is 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Be sure to visit kitchenpolitics123.com. More articles will be coming, you know. And, you know, also the merchandise department will be, you know, up and running, hopefully before the end of this month. You know, it's a work in progress, you know. Rome wasn't built in a day. But we thank everybody for sharing across social media and, like, you know, bringing up the profile of Kitchen Politics 123, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, right-wingers, you know, who private message us, keep private messaging, you know, because your threats mean nothing. You know, we stand for something. We're defending democracy. We're defenders of democracy. We're not really taking crap. They say, oh, yes, you know, Second Amendment remedies. You don't think liberals have guns, though? Yeah, bring it. Bring it, please. I beg you, bring it. You know, we're ready.
Yep.
Progressives and liberals are ready to defend this country. If you try to pull that shit again that you did in 2020 or 2021, January 6th, you know, the government will be ready for you again. You know, these militias that you have saying, oh, yes, we're going to, you know, fight against the government and overthrow them. Yeah, good luck with that. They have a nuclear arsenal. You have, like, little pew-pews and little AR-15s compared to a big arsenal like the United States, you know, Marine Corps and Navy and Army and Air Force. Good luck, you know?
Yeah.
Good luck. Try it. If you're bad, try it, please. So anyway, last words. We have 6 minutes left. Last word, Lori.
I'm very proud of President Biden. I have always liked him as a president, and now I feel even better about having him as a president because I feel that he understands all the ins and outs of what's happening. He has the experience. He, like I said, he has a cool head. He has compassion. He has a heart. And he has shown stamina. All you right-wingers out there that say that he trips and does this and does that and he stammers when he talks, I would love to see you fill in his shoes after what he's done in the past 12, 13 days since Israel was attacked. So you guys can take all your rhetoric and shove it because President Biden has showed you that he, when it comes time, that man knows how to lead. And he has my support. And I, like I said before, I know he's an avid Catholic, and I do pray that God will keep him safe. And that's what I have to say.
Madeline, your turn. Make it brief because, you know, we'll have
Elaine. I will,
to
dear.
Have
all
word.
I'm
going
to say is everybody out there that's listening to us that wants to, we've touched your mind and your heart. Let's start at home. Do your reading. Find out information. We're only 3, 4, 5 people here, and we want to have the rest of the country get educated on what exactly is going on.
Yep.
We need more educated people in our own country. Well, what I'm hearing these people, for instance, with Jordan Klepper, the MAGA people, I couldn't understand how ignorant people could be. Let's go beyond that. Let's get ourselves reading. Let's get ourselves involved. Let's get in like we're doing here. We're talking. We're putting input. We have facts. We have reasons. We have information. We don't have empty promises. So God bless each and every one of you who have a heart, and have a good night.
Thank you, Maggie.
Elaine?
Well, pretty much on the same vein, I thank President Biden for being the leader that he is. He has brought humanitarian aid to the people that are caught in the middle. That is, to me, to be commended. People, just listen to what's going on. It can reverse. It can reverse. Maybe 25 years from now, we'll be fighting the same crap with the Democrats. So be vigilant. Pay attention to what's going on. If the person you put in office turns out to be a jerk, get them out. Don't sit back and bitch. You get them out at the polls. And
absolutely.
I thank the listening audience, and stay with us, and please call and add to it and, you know, educate us some more.
Absolutely.
Yes. Indeed.
All
right,
okay,
so,
David.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. Eric from Michigan. And Madeline and Elaine and Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia. We thank you for listening and sharing across social media.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank all those countries, 19 countries last time. Listen to them, you know, and we'll have some foreign calls. Say that again?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
No,
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yes, so until Sunday again. Same time, same place. We look forward to hearing from everybody. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for October 19th, 2023. The topic, Season 5, Episode 45, Could America Invade Iran? That was the topic. And I hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, this is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David, and good night, Madeline, and good night, Elaine. Thank you all, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Good
night, David. Good night.
Much love.
Much love. Good night, all. I'm going to go to the next one.
I've been trying to do it right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been keeping here instead. I've been sleeping in my bed. Sleeping in my bed. So show me family or the blood that I will be. I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I went wrong. I can write a song. I've been on, you've been on my dreams. I've been on, you've been on my dreams.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, an all-in-one cleaning tool. With a 360-degree swivel head, that goes places a regular mop just can't. Mop smarter with the new Swiffer Power Mop.
Oh, Lord, my
Yerushalayim.